VentureCast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into Missing the Point and the returning triumphant Power Ranking Show. I am your host, DK Sizzle, Dave Clark. We're here with the usual suspects, Joe Malkin and Bob Kelly. I'm really excited because we took a week off for Thanksgiving. You know, we all spent some time with our families. A lot of good football happened. A lot of really cool matchups. It was a great red zone day last Sunday. Like a lot of really cool matchups happened. If you're watching this on the YouTube and you're wondering why I'm draped in the Irish tricolor, it's because the British royal family has somehow invaded the TD Garden. And we seem to be celebrating that for some God unknown reason. Pretty sure America fought a war against them, but so did my native country of Ireland. So I stand in solidarity and protest against that useless organization. Go watch The Fucking Crown if you want that. Like, it's Celtics basketball. It's fucking Irish town. Get out of here with that. Anyway, we're talking about football. We're talking about football this week. That's what we're doing. Gentlemen, I'm excited to be back. It's been a little bit of a crazy week, like I said, but I'm pretty sure that's becoming the siren song of this show. I feel like it's been a bit of a crazy week every week. This one might have actually been a little bit more tame. So we're going to talk about some fun stuff. We're definitely going to get to the 2017 running back draft class at one point because they just had themselves a fucking week. It might be the greatest season, bro. Yeah, right. I mean, it's crazy. It might be the best running back draft class in history. I can't think of a better one, and I'm not gonna. And we're definitely gonna do a little talk about some bets at the end of the show. We're gonna, but mainly the thing we're here for is to talk about the power rankings. So I'm going to start us off with a number 10 with a bullet. The Baltimore Ravens. Now, I have to tell you guys, a few shows now, I've kind of plugged them as a dark horse, but I saw some disturbing stats over the weekend. And not to mention their obvious fourth quarter troubles and their sort of inability to close out a game efficiently and put a team away. But apparently, the only quarterback worse at the deep ball than Lamar Jackson, statistically this year, is Zach Wilson. So that disturbs me, especially since I've been high on Lamar's arm on the eye test. Now, I think we've discussed thematically, Joe, the underneath throw being a really great way, if you do it effectively, to hide a lot of deficiencies in the quarterback position. My question to you is this going to be a problem for the Ravens? And when you get to the playoffs, is that deep ball necessary? Do you need that deep ball to win a Super Bowl? Do you need it? Go ahead.
No, and here's why. This Ravens team is really good. They're just not fully healthy right now. And I feel like we've been saying that all season about them. If it's not Gus Edwards or Kenyon Drake or Mark Andrews or the rookie tight end there, likely, there's always somebody that's on the bench because they're injured. And when they get healthy, those deficiencies will be hidden again because that John Harbaugh offense is very similar to a dink and dunk style of offense. And it works for them. I mean, they have the second best tight end in the NFL in Mark Andrews. They have a great rookie tight end. And not to mention, because I have to mention it every week when we talk about the Ravens, they do have the best kicker of all time. So I think Lamar can get away with not being able to throw that deep ball. I think they're going to climb the rankings here in the next few weeks because I think a couple of these teams are going to slip, two that we'll get to shortly. But no, when he doesn't need the long ball. He is bad at throwing the long ball, but his arm is very good. I mean, look at Madden ratings, right, Dave? Like, so what if his long ball rating is a 70 because his medium range and short range balls are 95? And his ability to read the situation and know when to take off is insane. I mean, he's just such a good quarterback. I actually think he might, just looking at him, he might be underutilized by John Harbaugh, and I don't know how to utilize him the correct way, but he's doing a hell of a job down there with what he's got around him. And that was something that I don't think we necessarily said on this show about Lamar Jackson, but I think it was kind of hinted at in the media and around the NFL that, you know, can this guy succeed when he faces adversity? And right now he is, by all intents and purposes, succeeding facing adversity with a lot of guys that have been on the shelf. So no, I like this team. I'm with you, Dave. I'm a big proponent of the Ravens. I think they're going to climb this top 10, and I think they're going to do very well towards the end of the season and in the playoffs.
I agree that his ability to read the game is definitely like jumped up several times over this season. And I think as much as me and Bobby were a little bit all over John Harbaugh at the start of the season and his decision-making in regards to game management, I do believe that they're kind of getting it together. My concern isn't necessarily that he doesn't have the deep ball, Bobby. It's that he still fucking throws it. Like, he still fucking puts it up. And he did. He definitely did slice up. Who the fuck did they play last weekend? He definitely did slice up the Jaguars a little bit on the deep ball, especially towards the end of the game. But the problem is, if you suck at it, the other team comes down with it half the time. So, and the problem is, maybe Jacksonville's getting better. Maybe Trevor Lawrence, like, we slept on him a little bit. Maybe when you have Urban Meyer as your coach, you shouldn't really be judged for like what your rookie season is. Maybe all that's true. But if you're genuinely a Super Bowl contender in the Baltimore Ravens, that statistic is true about Lamar Jackson, and you look like you look in the fourth quarter, are you putting your hard-earned money on this team, Bobby? I'm starting to get a little concerned about them.
It's scary. What scares me is the inability to put teams away, man. And you know what I mean? If you can't put away the goddamn Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth quarter, right? I know that was like Trevor Lawrence's come to Jesus moment this past week. That was a big boy drive. Big boy throws in that drive.
And that going for two, that decision to go for two. Like, I don't want to take anything away from the Jags, because honestly, that took a brass set of balls. And
it did.
That throw, I agree with you. That was probably the best throw of the day. The way you let him like that, like he threw it perfectly. There was one angle, I'm sure you saw it, from basically behind the throw. And watching the football just curve out to the only place, like the place that only his receiver.
It was magical.
It was beautiful. Magical. Genuinely beautiful. And I really think that he changed a lot of minds, Trevor Lawrence, that day. But they're not a playoff team. They're not in the power rankings. Yep. So they're not our concern. Like, we're not trying to shit on them, Jaguars fans. We're not. But we're here talking about the Baltimore Ravens. And I just think, I don't know. I just think if that's the Chiefs, you just don't see that throw.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Completely agree. And the thing is with the Ravens is, this is, how many games is this? 1, 2, 10? No, so they've blown, I think it's 4 fourth quarter leads.
Right.
Of more than 10 points so far this season. And that's kind of been an MO for me for Harbaugh. This has been a theme so far. And I can't believe it's not more talked about even now after so many fourth quarter blown leads. But like, is this the ceiling for this Harbaugh team, for this Harbaugh regime? Because it seems like this is what happens year in and year out, is like the Ravens are talented. The Ravens are a championship contending team, but it's the same shit every single year. They blow fourth quarter leads, and they at times look magical. They look like, you know, unbeatable at times. But there's times where you're just sitting there like, what the hell is going on over there, man? And honestly, them being at 10 is just like it's more of a Lamar Jackson and what his ceiling is respect ranking. But I wouldn't put my hard-earned money in the playoffs against one of the better teams in the AFC, I wouldn't do it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, and it'll probably be a fourth quarter blowout. It'll probably be them blowing it in the fourth quarter.
Right, exactly. You're going to be pulling your hair out. That's what this team is.
Let me ask you something, honestly. Do you think that there's a world where, like, the proven Harbaugh coaching system is becoming dated? And people are starting to figure it out.
It's very, to me, it's very similar to the Belichick style. And that's what I was going to kind of rebut Bobby with, is that, like, sure, Lamar's got a ceiling, and he definitely has. I mean, every player has their ceiling, right? We've seen it with a lot of guys, and sometimes you can make up those deficiencies. And speaking of the Ravens, we saw that in 2000 when Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl with arguably one of the greatest.
That's a different era of football.
No, it's a different era of football. But when you have the pieces around you, and Harbaugh clearly hasn't changed. He's always been subpar at managing the clock. Along with guys like Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, they're not good clock managers. But my rebuttal to Bobby, kind of, and I would say, and I don't think you necessarily disagree with me, Bobby, but when you have the same coach, and we see it year after year after year. We saw it when they had Flacco at quarterback. We see it with Lamar Jackson. We've seen it with Ray Lewis, one of the best linebackers of all time in the front seven for the Ravens. It is Harbaugh. It's Harbaugh. When it comes down to brass tacks and you want to know why the Ravens just can't get over that hump, it's John Harbaugh. And it's funny because he's a top 10 coach in the NFL.
They did get over that hump for a very long time. In fairness to them, they did at one point get over that hump.
They did. Absolutely. They did get over that hump. But I mean, but, you know, we could have the same.
But the quarterback nowhere near as good as Lamar Jackson.
He's elite. Elite, bro.
He's elite. No, nowhere near as good. I mean, Flacco had his really good seasons. He had a couple of playoff runs that were absolutely incredible. I mean, literally some of the best players. He had two.
He had four good games.
Let's agree to disagree on one.
All right, let's say one. Fine.
It was an incredible playoff run. It was one of the best playoff runs ever. I agree. But Lamar Jackson made him hundreds
of millions of dollars.
Lamar Jackson has never had that playoff run. True. So I'm not saying that Joe Flacco is better. I'm saying that the common denominator here is John Harbaugh. That's the common denominator.
Since that season, which was 2012, the Ravens have made it to the playoffs four times since 2012, and they have not gotten past the divisional. So they're 2-4. They have two playoff wins since Ray Lewis left.
Well, I mean, hold on a second. I feel like that's a little bit of a misleading stat because they had a full rebuild. They had a full rebuild on their hands around like a young quarterback who isn't traditionally the pocket guy that you're going to be.
They did change the entire offense. I do remember that.
That's going to take a second. You know, as a Bears fan, I get stats like that leveled at my team a lot. And it's like, well, I mean, Jesus Christ. We've been terrible. I understand. But I think. We've probably spent enough time on the Ravens. It is an interesting topic only because, like, I think they're sort of a beautifully flawed team. I think they have the potential to, like you said, not make it past the divisional game again. And nobody's surprised. Nobody has a big hee-haw. But at the same time, I don't think anyone will be that surprised by Lamar Jackson just flicking a switch and going on a Joe Flacco, if you will, playoff
17 touchdowns, one interception.
But I wouldn't put it past Lamar. I genuinely wouldn't. Like, I've seen the dude just absolutely fucking ball out all season. And, like, if he wants to decide to win a football game, he can lot of the time. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I just don't. I don't feel as safe in their loving embrace as I did a couple of weeks ago.
We do got to be careful criticizing, or else we might get criticized and told that we eat too much dick. So,
yeah, that was awesome. Did you see? To be quite honest with you, I love that from him. Like that poor bastard with like one of probably hundreds of thousands of troll comments, and he won the fucking lottery that night. Eat a dick.
Eat a dick. Lamar Jackson tells you to literally go eat a dick.
Oh man, I want.
It looks like that you might be good at eating dick. That's what it was, right?
That's what they should. If he does win a fucking Super Bowl, they should emblazon that on the fucking Lombardi Trophy. Eat a dick, Lamar Jackson, 2022. All right, moving on to the New York Jets after the lovely and hearty discussion about the Baltimore Ravens. They're sliding, guys. They're sliding. I would love to be able to just immediately play the clip of us all high on the Jets, not like 4 weeks ago, because of. You know, Sauce Gardner and some like very fun playmaking players that they had kind of littered throughout their roster. I think once the whole Zach Wilson debacle went down, we haven't really gotten. I know it seems like kind of a while ago now, a couple weeks ago now, but we haven't actually had a chance to talk about the whole Zach Wilson thing. He's obviously trash. And any team that has a quarterback controversy of that magnitude this late in the season is, quite frankly, I hate to cross off a power rankings team, but they're an automatic cross off to me when you have a quarterback situation like that happen. So, I mean, I know it's a little bit of an aggressive take. So if you guys think I'm being too harsh on the Jets, like, feel free. But Bobby, what do you think the rest of this Jets season is going to look like? And do you genuinely believe you're going to type in J-E-T-S to your next week's power rankings?
I think we're going to learn a lot about them this week. Listen, that defense.
Don't we know a lot about them at this point?
Well, yeah. So what it is,
it's like week 13.
So Mike White actually does look like an average NFL quarterback. And that's really all because I don't know if you
Mike White coming into and throwing four good passes is not going to.
But that's four more. That's four more passes than he.
And the bar being set incredibly low right before he comes in is not.
I'm just saying that if Mike White was the quarterback against the Patriots, the Jets win that football game. And I don't think there's really that much.
Oh, no way. No
bro,
way.
Zach Wilson was so bad at that game.
He was bad.
He was really
Dave,
bad
I just want to mark game. Down that Bobby brought up the Patriots.
Not true. You brought up Belichick a while ago. Sorry. Sorry. The over-under's already cashed, but I hate to say it.
If they can go into Minnesota and be, yes, I know, a very flawed Minnesota team, I think we learn a lot about them because, listen, this team's 2 weeks away from beating the
Bills.
They're not going to. I agree.
We're doing an if-then on a situation. As much as it's like, I agreed, it's Minnesota. They're not going to beat the fucking Vikings.
They have a top five defense in the league, though. And that's why they're here. And technically right now, they're in that playoff spot. What are they, 7-4, right?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Well, and that's what's amazing to me, just to kind of jump in there, Dave, is like, we're talking about a 7-4 football team.
7-4?
7-4 football team that has I'm going to put quotes around it, a quarterback controversy, because there's no quarterback controversy.
Yeah, Zach Wilson sucks.
Sure, but you switch out your quarterback at this point in the season. Like, it's not a good sign.
But that's what I mean is, like, I don't understand where that came from. Did that come from the owner? Did that come from Woody Johnson? Did that come from Joe Douglas?
It came from the game tape from Zach Wilson.
It came from Zach Wilson. I understand that, but if he took accountability for him being a fuck-up against the Patriots, he's still a quarterback in this team.
The leadership.
Right? That's really what it comes down to. When you suck that bad, when you're that bad and they're like, hey, do you think you let your defense down today? The answer is fucking yes. The answer is fucking yes. And he just came back with that no so fast, man. It was such a bad look. Salah had to replace him. He didn't have a choice. You don't have a choice.
It should be mentioned that now Bill Belichick has gotten a coach fired and a quarterback benched immediately after the games that he beat them in. And this is something that's gone on, and it is kind of the Belichick factor. And granted, Zach Wilson's awful. I would love to have Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator in New England. I mean,
you'd take fucking anybody at this point.
Trust me, I was the guy sitting in the stands last week at the Jets game saying fire Matt Patricia in the fourth quarter.
I doubt you're the only one.
No, I wasn't. I got a good group with me on that one. But no, you know, this Jets team is just an anomaly. It's weird because I really like Robert Saleh. I like what he's doing there. I like the way he built that defense. Sauce Gardner has been outstanding. But Dave, you said it when you opened the conversation about the Jets. They're sliding. And this is where we see who they really are. And I disagree about the Vikings. I don't think they're as flawed as people think they are. I think they've gotten to a point where there was a point where
we'll talk about the Vikings.
But there was a point where Dalvin Cook was their best offensive weapon, and Mike says it all the time: you can't win when the running back is your best position or best player on the field. I think that Vikings team is extremely good. And I actually think we'll they're underrated. Later.
So just to finish up the conversation about the Jets.
Well, that
I
was
mean, love, it's a good, it's a decent take, and it'll definitely hold up in a few minutes when we talk about the Vikings. So unless something crazy happens from now until then, like a bus accident or something. But I think the
breaking news.
The point that we're kind of making about the Jets, and we're dancing around it a little bit, is that they're usually as a team, maybe not this extreme of an example, but there's usually as a team by about this time that had a hot start and is starting to get found out. And I think that without the benefit of a certified game-winning QB, you're not going to stop the slide. That's inevitable for the New York Jets. And it seems like you guys aren't completely out on them. We can't cross them off. Basically, because they're on the power rankings, we can't cross them off. But I would love to revisit a cross off next week, depending on their performance. But you guys have voted and you've spoken. The tribe has spoken, so I'm not going to cross them off. It would have been pretty epic to cross off a power rankings team. I would have really enjoyed it, but that's fine. I do think Mike White's biggest accomplishment, though, is simultaneously quarterback in the New York Jets and writing and showrunning White Lotus on HBO. I mean, it's an amazing feat to be able to do both of those things. The most erotic show of the fall. So if you haven't listened to it, this is not an advertisement, but go check it out. It's great.
Thursdays on NBC.
It's on HBO, actually.
Thursdays on HBO.
And that's on Sundays. All right, so moving
on. Sundays on HBO.
Moving on to the Cincinnati Bengals, who I think, in my opinion, just to jump right the fuck in, are doing the opposite of what the Jets are doing. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are on a fun little resurgence tour, and not for nothing, it's happening right around the fucking same time. That's
the same exact shit. Yep.
That their run happened. I mean, it was this time last year, Bobby, that you and I agreed to bet on the Bengals going to the Super Bowl. And then we both got lazy and didn't do it, which I will never make that mistake again. But I'm not betting on them to go to the Super Bowl just yet. But I mean, they were just fucking there. And Joe Burrow's hype. Okay, so this is how I'm going to posit it to you, Joe. Let's go to you first, since he's your namesake. He's got a little body language change happening, Joe Burrow. Like he's never not confident, and I do love that about him. But there's a certain swagger about his play now. Like a couple of you know, pointing to the first down, dropping the ball when he runs in for a first down. And he's making some kind of saucy plays and just being like, you know, that fun little Joe Burrow minx that we know and love. And he's really bringing it. My question is twofold. A, would you agree that there's a body language change in him? And B, do you think that Joe Burrow is a good enough quarterback, a la the likes of your Aaron Rodgers's, your Tom Brady's, to win no matter what has happened to his weapon core? If the biggest criticism being, if Ja'Marr Chase goes down, Joe Burrow ain't Joe Burrow. I don't know if that's necessarily true. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on the guy with the same name as you.
Well, I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow, and thank you for reading my mind. Thank you for asking the question that you did. 3-1 without Ja'Marr Chase. 1-0 without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon. T. Higgins has stepped up.
Sure has.
He's incredible. A baller, bro. He's a baller.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd stepped up as well. I mean, listen, I had Zach Taylor fired in 2020. I was like, he's the first coach out. He sucks. He's doing a hell of a job there in Cincinnati. I mean, they just took down the Titans again, like I said, 20-16. But they just beat the Titans, who right now are a playoff team and probably going to win their division without two of the biggest weapons on that team and arguably one of the best receivers in the league.
Can I actually interrupt you for 1 second, Joe?
Yeah.
I want to let you continue, but just as a quick aside.
All right, Kanye.
No, come on. I'm not taking your award away from you. So just as a quick aside, if anyone's sticking around to listen to a Titans segment, they are a notable leave off on this power rankings for the record that they have. For the fact that they're almost certainly going to win their division still. And, you know, this being a New England centric podcast and their coach being Mike Vrabel, it is a little strange that they're off the list. But I would like to say that we don't care if you're mad, because God, are they a fucking boring team to watch.
Oh, so
like they really have no identity other than Derrick Henry. So I'm glad to be rid of them off this power rankings personally. I fucking hate talking about the Titans. I really think we all knew they weren't going to bring anything to the table. And spoiler alert, they're not going to come up again for the rest of the show. So. Unless, of course, you guys make points about the Bengals game, because the Bengals are fun and interesting to talk about. So, Joe, please, I'm so sorry. Continue.
The Bengals are fun and interesting because they have a lot of flair. And you're right. Joe Burrow kind of has this swagger back. The offensive line all of a sudden has learned how to protect their quarterback, too. which is outstanding. I mean, he's been upright. He looks healthy. He looks happy. I mean, knock on wood. I love watching Joe Burrow play. I love watching the Bengals play. They got a fun kicker to watch. They got a fun defense to watch. They have a fun. I love kickers. Love them. Love them.
I think they should be banned from the sport, personally.
Says the guy who loves football.
Yeah, stay in your lane.
this is a big one this week for the Bengals, and it's not going to knock them out of the top 10, I don't think. Bobby, maybe, I don't know, if they lose to the Chiefs, but really big game for both of these teams. And I think if the Bengals have their guys back, I think they got an opportunity here. I think this team is a real deal, Dave. I think you're right. They're on the upswing. And they're going to get healthy at the right time. And I don't know if they're going to go back to the Super Bowl. I don't know what they're going to do. But nonetheless, they are fun to watch. And I think they're going to climb a couple spots next week.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that this is the time last year they took off, because literally it was right around this time. And the come out party was a game against the Chiefs, if you remember, mm-hmm. where it was that back and forth battle. So I think they have a legit chance to beat the Chiefs this week, just because they seem to have their number. They beat him in that game, and then they beat him in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game.
Of course, you have to beat the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl, man. So, that's the rule.
they definitely have a chance. And like Joe just said, man, the fact that Joe Burrow's been able to do this, as I like to call him, Joe Burrow, get it, because he's got ice water in his vein. It's cold. Gotcha. You get it? Okay.
Craig, you can edit that part out. It's fine.
The fact that he was able to do this without Jamar, man, it is just next level. Yeah. And then without Mixon, too. It's crazy, man.
I wonder, is their ability to, you know, it's sort of hard to describe, but is their ability to fly the plane and build it at the same time kind of their strength? Like, I feel like Joe Burrow, his identity is stamped all over this Bengals team, and it's what's kind of so likable about this Bengals team and why they're so entertaining. And we've been alluding to this talk and in this whole conversation, but if Joe Burrow and by extension the Cincinnati Bengals are better when they're in chaos, they're better when shit's going a little crazy, they're better when their back's against the wall, which we've talked about, does that sort of put them in pole position to be the team that figures it out by the time the playoffs come around? And then they look like the Bengals of last year at the right time. I mean, we've already seen it happen once. That this is the crazy part. Am I talking myself into betting on them getting to the Super Bowl again?
Yes, you are. But here, let me bring you down to earth real quick. And this is their final six games of the season. The Chiefs, the Browns, who they've already lost to.
They'll beat them.
The Buccaneers.
That's a dub, too.
The Patriots.
That's 100% a dub, sorry.
The Bills.
All right, I'll stay an L there.
And the Ravens.
Yeah, they could beat the Ravens last game of the season.
Sure.
That might be to win the North. That might be a North championship. That might be to
win the division. But like right there, like, yeah, I can agree with you, Dave. Like, I see like a 4-2, a 3-3 in there. Is that enough? And will that be enough of a climb for them to kind of shoot off into the playoffs and be able to go? I mean, they could still take the number one seed. I mean, especially if they could come out and beat Buffalo. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm sold on the Bengals. I love watching this team, like I've said a few times, and you've said as well, Dave. But
yeah, no, they're awesome.
Nine to one to win the conference right now, and 20 to one to win the Super Bowl. It's not as good as last year.
20 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. I mean,
that's because they got there last year. That's why.
Well, the point I was just about to make, and we'll move on now from the Bengals, as much as I love talking about them, but the point I was just about to make is if they run the table on those last games that Joe just described to us, they're, I think, the automatic favorites.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Other than the, you know, I mean, it's just like, because they've beaten the Chiefs, right? Everybody wants to write the Chiefs off, like, because it's kind of boring to have the Chiefs be the best team, because it's just been the case for so long, it feels like. And then they beat their division rivals to, like, saunter into the playoffs. Like, they're hot. You know, I think the odds are forever in their favor at that point. But
before
there's
you
a lot
on,
to do. Yeah, please.
So right now, would you both would take the Bengals over the Ravens, correct?
Yes.
A fully healthy Bengals team, yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
I've seen Joe Burrow do it. I haven't seen Lamar do it. That's
sure. But and Dave, it's really interesting, the storyline, because like you can't script it any better. Like, all right, so you go and beat Andy Reid, like you said, running the table. So I'm kind of playing that. You go and beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Browns, whatever. Then you go and beat Tom Brady. Then you go and beat Bill Belichick. then you go and beat Josh Allen, and then you go and beat John Harbaugh and,
yeah,
and
that's legit,
Lamar Jackson. Like, dude, that's a, if you it's actually like think of those guys in the context of each one of those people, that's a gauntlet, man.
Yeah, that's like a fucking video game. Like all the hardest bosses, like one after the other after the other. Like, you're officially the gym leaders by the end of that. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about the rest of this Bengals season. I think the context we put it in makes it all the more fun and watchable. And I really hope we do have a battle for the division by the time we see
that'd be great. That'd be great.
The Ravens.
That'd be fun.
Be unbelievable.
Our listenership in Cincinnati just raised exponentially.
Yeah, I love it. Get us out there. Put us on the fucking bell tower. All right, so we're moving on to the San Francisco 49ers, who honestly have caused me just stress as I try to fall asleep at night. I have this little voice scratching at the back of my skull telling me that they might be the real deal. But it's this fucking Trojan horse, though, isn't it? Because everybody carrying it is made of fucking eggs. Like, they're made of absolute fucking eggshells. The way Deebo Samuel gets fucking tackled makes the foot, he's just so good in open space, but the hits he takes makes my stomach drop into my fucking balls. The very noted injury record of Christian McCaffrey, as much as he is like sick on this team, if he would get more touches, but then if he gets more touches, he almost certainly goes to the fucking hospital. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo, who, as much as he isn't Tom Brady, they need him if they're going to go anywhere. Like, that's obvious. We don't even have to really litigate that. And then who am I forgetting that is also a super injury prone?
George Kittle.
Kittle's maybe. Yeah.
He's injury prone. I mean, he's not.
I feel like he's had a good little run, though, right? He's had a good little run recently. But this team.
Ever since you called him out, pretty much.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's a blocker now. And then all of a sudden, he's just.
And all of a sudden, he's fucking three touchdowns.
Keep talking that way.
I'll send you my address for the thank you card. I mean, you're not the first one I've done it to, and you won't be the last. The curse of the podcaster. But listen, I really do like the San Francisco team. I genuinely like them. I think their uniforms look cool. I think I love their players. I love their weapons. I would build a team that looks like this if it were up to me, with the exception maybe a quarterback. But I want to love them. I really do. I want to bet on them. I want them to go far in the playoffs. But man, they are one bad injury away from being nothing. Bobby, talk me out of this. Are they going to be all right? Did they just hire better doctors?
Honestly, the weapons don't scare me going down, because the defense is so goddamn good, man. That's the best defense in the league. And that's coming from a Cowboys fan who loves my defense.
There's a couple studs on that defense, a little injury prone also, though.
Yeah, Bosa's
a little injury prone.
Those muscles like to rip off their body. I don't understand it. But so far this season,
still be good if he went down. I really do. Like, I do think it's a well-run unit, but I mean, it hurts you if Bosa goes down. Like,
7 games so far out of 10. They've held their opponents under 17 points.
No, they're unbelievable.
That's so, and
they're a lock for the number 2 defense in the league, I think.
Right, it's unbelievable how good. I mean, the last 3 or last 4, 14 points, 16 points, 10 points, and a shutout. That's their last 4 games. So honestly, I mean, you look against the Saints, they didn't have a good offensive day against the Saints. They only won 13-0. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not the offense that's going to drive this team far into the playoffs. It's not. And that's not what scares me. It's not Jimmy that scares me. None of that scares me,
it's
man.
It's not?
No. It's
the full unit.
It's the defense, bro. That defense is legit. And they can shut any offense down on any day. So that's why they were.
I would love to see them play the Cowboys
how nostalgic would that be?
I would love that.
I don't want to do that. Listen, we did that last year. I don't want to do it again.
But for me, we're all from the same generation. Like, watching the 49ers play the Cowboys in a playoff game to me is like, that's right. Like childhood, right. You know? Like, those are two teams that like should be there in the playoffs playing each other. Like, I love that. Like,
I don't want to do it again. I'm okay.
It's a cold Saturday, and we're tuning into the 49ers playing the Cowboys like in Dallas. And then like there's like another NFC game going where the Bears are playing the Packers or something. Like, these are the teams I want to see in the playoffs. Like, it's really genuinely awesome. So before Joe like jumps out of his fucking underwear, I'm going to let him go off about Jimmy G a little bit, because quite frankly, like, we were wrong and he was right.
He played great against the Cardinals.
Yeah,
he played great in that game.
Again, I don't think he has the best deep ball in the world, and I was looking up deep ball stats in order to lambast Jimmy G, and that's when I came across the Lamar Zach Wilson tidbit. But statistically, his deep ball's not that bad. I think he knows when to throw it, and I think his game management and his play has been really great. I think Bobby made a really good point about Christian McCaffrey being the perfect guy to come in for him. So All right, Joe, it's your victory lap. I genuinely believe that Jimmy G is the reason what, like, that he turned them into a contender this year. And maybe all they needed was competent quarterback play, but you're right.
Dave, with all this deep ball talk, I'm wondering if you meant to Google balls deep and you kind of just got caught up in football. Jimmy G is...
We can edit that one out too, Craig. It's fine.
Jimmy G is not only the most handsome quarterback in the NFL.
I think Tom Brady's probably still more handsome than
him. Yeah, I don't.
It's close. Well, not anymore. Not with those cheekbones.
If we're going to litigate
not with those cheekbones. Not with the new cheekbones.
Justin Fields is fucking great looking. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, he is. You know, hair. Not great looking is Trey Lance.
Trevor Lawrence would be for some people. I think
when he cuts the hair, he looks.
No, he needs the hair. It detracts from the
nose. Think so? Sunshine, yeah.
Sunshine, bro. It's the sunshine look.
You got a Tim Riggins thing going on. You know, Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
I love this 49ers team. I love that. I echo everything Bobby said because he's absolutely right. The defensive unit is ridiculous, and that's, you know what? It's amazing because Kyle Shanahan is an offensive minded guy. And the best unit on that team is his defense, and he knows it. And I think there's a resurgence in the relationship between Shanahan and Garoppolo. And I think this is the best thing for that organization, is I think they saw that Trey Lance wasn't ready or can't do it, one of the two or both. And
I think America saw that, Joe.
Yeah, sure. And when they brought Garoppolo back in, and then they traded for...
Well, his foot snapped in half, but, you know.
That too. They traded for McCaffrey, and they traded away Jeff Wilson to Miami, who they're going to meet this week.
Well, but to your credit, Joe,
it's going to be a great game.
To be honest, like, yeah, Trey Lance goes down, fair enough. But Joe did say, which is sort of my whole point, like, if you take Jimmy back out after, like, Trey Lance's play up until that point, and, like, you know, once he comes back in, that would be insane. I really do think that Jimmy coming in is why they're...
I agree. It is what
you know. I mean, it's you can't energy. As much as I want to shit on him. Like it's you can like he's doing it. He's the guy, you know.
And he's managing the game, and that's all he needs to do is just get the ball into the hands of the playmakers. Without a doubt, he can get the ball to 19. He can get the ball to 23. And that's what matters at the end of the day is that he lets those playmakers make the plays. This week, Bobby, this might be the biggest game of the week. And we're talking about an AFC-NFC matchup because... America's game. These two teams are really good, the Dolphins and the 49ers. I'd love to see the 49ers knock them off, but we'll talk about the Dolphins in a little bit because I'm kind of starting to fall in love with them too. But yeah. I love this 49ers team, man. I just Jimmy G is a big part of that. I still hold it against the Patriots organization for trading him away, regardless of who the culprit was. Because if they had kept him around or found a way, if Brady was the culprit and he was like, no, I'm staying, and then he pieced out, I don't know. Doesn't matter. They should have kept him. They should have kept him around. They would have been in a much better spot than they are now, even with a winning 6-5 record. This 49ers team is the real deal. And I could see them doing some damage. They just got to get, they got to stay either consistent or get hot.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an issue. Stick with me here on this one because I want to try and make this point, but it might be a little out there. But the edible did just kick in. So, like, just bear with me.
I'm with you.
As much as we've sort of thematically discussed on the Power Ranking Show week in and week out that it's difficult to determine who's the really good teams and who's the really bad teams. And especially even now in week 13, this late in the season, we should really know who's great and who isn't. But there's great flawed teams and you know, teams that maybe aren't so good on paper, but they're still performing really well. And this theme has kind of stuck with us. I think what we do know, though, about this season, and I think this has been sort of special about this NFL season in a narrative way, is we know the likable teams that are good and the unlikable teams that are good. So I'm going to use this as a transition. So we have the San Francisco 49ers, and we go like, I don't know, man. It'd be pretty cool to see them like make a run. If it's not going to, obviously it's not going to be the fucking Bears, right? Like I need another team to sort of root for, right? To make a little run. Bobby, I know you're in a different position. You're obviously a Cowboys fan and they're going to compete with the 49ers in the NFC, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like they're just kind of a likable team. Like there's studs all over their offense. Like you and I both fucking love great defenses. Joe, I know you do too. You come from a defensive heavy franchise. Like, as much as, yeah, they had Tom Brady. I mean, the Patriots they're a defensive team. That's what Bill Belichick is, right? Like, that's his identity, right? So we all share that passion and that love. Now you have another team that's good on paper that we're going to move on to at number six in the power rankings. But oh my, are they unlikable for whatever reason? I like Dalvin Cook. You know, I like Jefferson. I like these players, but you have this like comedy villain in Kirk Cousins at quarterback. And I'm not going to relitigate the like Kurt and primetime thing as much as like maybe last week was like a little bit of a different story. The Cowboys coming in, we haven't had a chance to talk about this because we took a week off. The Cowboys coming in and taking a fucking shit on the head of the Minnesota Vikings.
That was so beautiful.
Deeply satisfying to me. And I'll tell you a couple of reasons. One, I've really enjoyed being high on the Cowboys this year. It's been like a really nice thing for me. Why? Because I'm not a full-blown Cowboys fan, so they can't break my heart. But they're a fun team to watch, so it's like nice to like trail them and like, and you know, I talked to Bobby once a fucking week on the show. But man, they were shitting on the Vikings and then just like bending the Vikings over in front of the entire nation and being like, this is who they are. We know you thought this is who they are. This is who they are. Was so fucking satisfying to me. I didn't turn it off. I watched every
until
score.
CBS turned it off for you.
I had it on the Sunday ticket. I watched the whole fucking thing. I watched every single thing. So at the end of the day, thankfully we know who the Vikings are now. So they've mercifully dropped down the power rankings a little bit. Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. But do you kind of get what I'm saying about like the good likable teams and the good non-likable teams? It's going to come up again when we get to the Dolphins. It's going to come up again when we get to the Eagles. Like, there's something about these teams. There's now an identity that's emerged, and it's really fun to watch. So the vaudevillian villain Vikings come in hot at number six. Bobby, they're not winning a Super Bowl, right?
No, they're not. Listen, thank this God. Team, this team was like kind of like the Steelers of the past, where it's like their spot at the top of the power rankings was strictly because of their record and how good they were doing. Listen, they're 9-2 and they're number six. They have a better record than every team except for the Eagles that are ahead of them.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. That's a perfect segue. Let me ask you this question. We're going to do a little mini version of the game to both of you. Vikings play the 49ers in the NFC playoffs. 49ers, right?
49ers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vikings play, let's see, the Cowboys? Cowboys. Obviously. We just saw how that goes. They play the Eagles. Eagles. Right? There's so many teams that can destroy their playoff run. Like, there's just so many. And I feel confident at this point that we're going to see them go out in the first round. But that's sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
It's those four teams, though. Those three teams, right? Like, I could see the Vikings being in the final four in the NFC and not getting past any one of those teams. And
Kirk Cousins has to win a fucking playoff game for that to happen. I just don't see it.
Yeah, here's a question for you, right? Season ends today. They play the Commanders in the first round.
I'm taking the Commanders. I'm taking the Commanders.
Juicy,
they look legit.
A juicy underdog.
They do look legit.
You see Robinson, that rookie? He's fucking sick.
His big
and he
hat.
Was shot I love before the season. Like, literally
big
spent
hat,
like...
Bro.
Like,
I'm getting one. I'm fucking getting one.
Let me know if you want a big hat.
If they play the Vikings and they beat the Vikings, I'm fucking coming on this podcast in a big hat. Fucking happening.
Yo, can we actually team. Make that agreement? Let's make that agreement.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm buying a big hat.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
we can
a
do
big
that.
Hat.
One way the worst other. Part, and I know we're now talking a little bit about the Commanders, but let's do that. Let's play that
they
game.
They deserve it.
If they do, because they played very
I'd
well.
Have a, I'd defense. Have them on this. I'd have them on this top 10 above at least two teams that I can see right now.
Yeah, and I mean, they could be. They're a very good. I mean, that NFC East is really good. Like, all four of those teams can play football, and they're all fun to watch. I love watching the Giants. Actually, the Eagles are my least favorite to watch in that division, and the Commanders are just so much fun. I think Taylor Heinicke deserves a starting job somewhere. I really do, and if it's in Washington, it's in Washington. I think that kid is underrated. I don't think he's – I think he's better than, like, Kirk Cousins on the surface. But I don't think
Carson
he's ever going
to
like
win.
Well,
Carson
no,
Wentz.
Well, absolutely.
That experiment's over, thankfully.
It's kind of, I like him a little bit more. Well, A, for two reasons. Right. A, because it means we never have to see Carson Wentz again. And B, that Jordan thing that he's doing with the Jordans, where he buys a new pair of Jordans for every team he beats. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it is. He's a badass. I love watching Taylor Heinicke play. There's a reason why I started him in my fantasy league. It hasn't gotten me a win yet. But I just love the kid, so I got him there. Him and Justin Tucker, they start every week. But yeah, no,
he's keeping
the Vikings,
all those kids. He's keeping all those kids that work in those sweatshops that make those Jordans employed. So
it's true.
That's an act of magnanimous kindness, if you ask me.
Anyway.
Leave that part in, Craig.
What, a little sweatshop humor doesn't fucking get your ball rolling?
That's too far. That's too far.
Bobby,
that's
nobody, Bobby, none of them are listening to this show. It's fine.
Yeah, they're not allowed to on their 3-minute break.
Yeah, fucked up, dude. Hey, too far, man. Too far.
No, my bad.
That was too far.
I support the unionization of all sweatshop employees and Starbucks workers. Next.
But listen, I just think it speaks volumes to who the Vikings are that we all just sat here and said that we think the Taylor Heinicke Commanders could beat them in the first round of the playoffs. So, like, yeah. I feel like that's really what the Vikings are. You know what I mean? They're
just because their owner sucks and just because their name sucks doesn't mean we can't put some respect on them.
Oh my God. And that foot, did you see that Sean Taylor mannequin?
That was so bad.
Oh, that was that's so bad.
So
embarrassing.
2 years in a row. They did that to him.
You know, they literally hired Ron Rivera just to have some respect in that organization because.
Yeah.
I do like Ron Rivera.
I mean, I think everybody likes Ron Rivera, so I agree with that. But I think, man, I don't know. I don't know why he went to work there for that fucking guy. But it is a good, fun football game to watch. I mean, you just reminded me, though, that we were like talking nicely about a fucking Dan Snyder-owned fucking Commanders football team. And now
just think of the big hats. That's how I'm going to like them. The big hats just does it for
me. Remember when Dan Snyder came out and was like, remember when Dan Snyder came out and said he had dirt on all the owners, and then they were like, "Hey, fuck you, Dan Snyder." And he like backed down like a child.
So, yeah, you're
He's
right,
such a little bitch. Dan Snyder is the worst owner in all of sports. He's awful.
I just feel like, well, I don't know, those like fucking oil money fuckers that own like Manchester City. Yeah, they're like chopping people's heads off. I'm not entirely sure that's probably a little worse, but. I think it's if a bunch of dirt came out of it again about like NFL owners, like would anybody really care or be surprised? Like these people are all awful. We're like aware of that. We just have to like live in a little bubble where we think about the big hats, like Bobby says. Sure. I think Dan Snyder's probably not even the worst fucking one of all the owners. He's probably just the one who does the most out loud. Anyway, he is pretty bad though. All right, moving on. Thank God we're done talking about the Vikings. I'm hoping to not see them on this list by the end of the fucking year. I'm sick of talking about them. They're not good. We know they're not good. They're not going to do shit. I wish you could short sports bets like you can stocks. Like I wish I could bet on the Vikings to not win the Super Bowl, but like it really doesn't work like that. All right, moving on to the strange and flawed Buffalo Bills. I think they're still I think that here's what I think, right? I think I was happy to be proven right in the sense that I continually bang the drum of like, you can't be talking about Josh Allen like you talk about Pat Mahomes. It's just, it's ludicrous and it's not fair at this point in their respective careers. However, he's getting a little bit of a harder time than he maybe deserves. And I'm not 100% sure it's like Josh Allen's fault that they look weird. And, you know, I'm not one to like want to give credit, you know, to just the quarterback and like beat him up when it's him kind of sliding. But If they won a bunch of games leading into the playoffs and they return to looking like the contender that they came into the season as, would anybody really be that surprised? I mean, they're still a fucking wagon, right? Like we say it every week. I know they look strange and I know they look flawed and I know they look beatable. And I know that I still think that if they saw the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game and I think it would be at Arrowhead at this point, I think they're fucked. I think they're going to get buzzsawed. But like, they still got something about them. You can't just write them off just because they've like lost a couple of games. We don't want to be too reactionary about the Bills, right? Or am I crazy?
A big test for this team, Dave, is what happens. Well, as we're recording, what happens tomorrow night when this comes out? What happens tonight when they play the Patriots at Gillette in Foxborough? You know, Sean McDermott always has a hair across his ass for Bill Belichick, and most coaches do. But we've seen kind of outbursts from McDermott in the media regarding Bill Belichick. So, I mean, let's see, because I think Sean McDermott is headstrong, and I think that's part of their issues. I think another part of their issue is that Josh Allen is injured. I think there is something to that UCL injury. The biggest thing that they improved on this year is that they have an actual running game, and Devin Singletary looks like an actual NFL running back. Their defense is really good. They did lose Von Miller, though. Which is
it's tough, isn't it, to say that much shit, to talk that much shit about the fucking Minnesota Vikings, and they beat the fucking Bills, and it's just like, it's so disconcerting at the same time,
it's
right?
Parody, it's parody, Dave. It's just all parody. Well, I mean,
But well, if they have parity with the Vikings, then we shouldn't spend that much time fucking talking about them, right?
Yeah, but we're not talking about the Brad Childress coached Vikings. We're not talking, you know, like I think your biggest thing against the Vikings is Kirk Cousins. And I don't blame you for that reason. I don't blame you for that because I'm the one that will talk you into a mediocre quarterback like Kirk Cousins. We've played that game before on many shows. I think the Bills are more unlikable than the Vikings. The Bills are the wagon, the Vikings are the pretenders. And
it's Mike Zimmer too, a little bit, just for the record.
Oh, Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, you're not just Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, no, but Kevin O'Connell's their head coach. Former Patriot quarterback, Kevin O'Connell.
And yeah, I mean, that's fucking weird too. That's weird too. It's not as if that resume is really going to fill me with a ton of confidence either, like in the head coaching position. I know it's not Jeff Saturday, but still, I think that back to the Bills, because it seems like the fucking Vikings are just haunting my fucking soul. But I think when you talk about the Buffalo Bills, they're still winning their games. Like, I know they probably should have beat the Detroit Lions by a little bit more, but like, come on, like they're still fucking winning their games. Like, they're still the Buffalo Bills. Like, they don't look like themselves. I agree, but
they're still getting it done. They're getting it done when they need to get it done. They're still.
I think the worry and the thing we're all kind of talking about is maybe, and we can talk about this because they're the next team on the list. It's maybe the Dolphins breathing down their neck a little bit. I think there's like that thing. There's a world where they don't win their division because of the Dolphins.
Well, what scares me with the Bills a little bit is the red zone troubles. That's what scares me.
That's how like the Bucs started off the season, right? And like, look what's happened to them. You know, it's if you can't score.
Especially when you get that close. Josh Allen has the most red zone interceptions in the NFL so far this year. He has 5.
Yeah.
And like, it just feels like you guys remember the Josh Allen of 3 years ago where he was amazing. But he would always do that weird shit at the ends of the games where he'd throw it behind his head. He would do so. Listen, he's not doing that, but I don't trust him as much in the red zone anymore, guys. And like that Vikings game just smelled for me, man. Because listen, I know that they had that game, but you can't lose a game when you have the ball. But the other team with no timeouts, fumbling the ball into the end zone. Elite NFL teams do not do that.
I know that was a red flag. That was.
I love common denominators.
Don't do it.
I love common denominators, as I've said before. And one of the biggest differences for the Bills this year from last year and the last few years is the fact that Brian Daboll is no longer the OC. I think that has something to do with this. I mean, look at what Brian Daboll has made Daniel Jones look like in New York. Like, he literally saved the career of Daniel Jones just by getting hired as the head coach there. Like, you want to talk about quarterback whispers when we're talking about a Frank Reich or an Adam Gase. No, this is that guy. And I think that that's part of his troubles is the fact that he doesn't have that guy anymore.
Hmm. But what about this offense being right there? I mean, we might as well transition into this conversation. Like,
we're going to do your top four games since there's 2-2.
I do want to touch on the Dolphins a little bit, though, because they really do hit the theme of the likable team. Like, they are so ludicrously likable. Like, you even said it, and they're in your division, right? So that's a hard thing to admit. I can't see a world where I ever am sitting on this podcast and being like, you know, the Green Bay Packers are a pretty likable team this year. And it's just like, it to me, it's it's the head coach and his relationship with Tua and their fun little like back and forth. Yeah, it's their fact that they have the best wide receiver duo like ever. And they're like fucking tons of fun to watch. But also I think the fact that they're a little bit of a surprise. Like I think we could have maybe predicted they were going to be okay, but I think they might be legitimate contenders, like sort of informed by the fact that they're the fourth best team in the NFL, according to Bobby this week. So, and I think well-deserved. So, briefly, because we are going to do the final four game at the end. If you had to pick between, since the Bills are now not involved in the final four game, if you had to pick between the Bills and the Dolphins to beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game right now.
Bobby, you ready? Do you want to say it at the same time?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Dolphins.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Which is weird because the Bills beat the fucking Chiefs this year.
Yeah,
so,
but
they've got that magic about them. There's a little bit of a fucking pixie dust about him this year.
And Jeff Wilson's perfect for that offense, man. He running, perfect. He fits into that zone run scheme so well. And having the Wilson Mostert combo now, that's so much speed in the backfield to add on to the most speed I've literally ever seen from those two wide receivers. I was thinking about this earlier today, actually. Do you remember week one? Or was it? I think it was week one or week two. We were talking about overreactions and how much we love them. And one of the main ones we brought up was, is this the best wide receiver duo we've ever seen? And, you know, some people were, yes, it's an overreaction. No, it's that, bro, this isn't an overreaction anymore.
I mean, their numbers
are unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And Tua looks like a real NFL quarterback. And again, another coach that goes in, takes over, changes the system a little bit. And you're right, Dave, you said it, and their back and forth is incredible. Just the way they talk to each other. It's
half of my TikTok feed is just like those two talking to each other.
That's because I keep sending them to you guys in the Discord.
It was unbelievable, too, because of the way, like, he came out this week and spoke about that whole relationship and how much it changed him as a quarterback. And you could see it, because last year, you know, when a quarterback's playing timid, it's so obvious. You know what I mean? Like, you can literally see them white or pump those throws and be like, oh, I'm going to hit that throw. And then they don't do it. Tua's not doing that
this year,
man.
Is such a big part of that position. You
yeah,
know, like,
100%.
The confidence in yourself, confidence in your line, your offense's confidence in you, your relationship with your defense. And I think that those intangibles, if you're going to bottle that of every NFL team, the most full bottle right now would be the Miami Dolphins. I just think that there's something about the way that they're joined together as a cohesive unit and the way that they lead. And Bobby made this great point. I keep a couple of weeks ago on the Power Rankings, I keep thinking about whenever I listen to them talk to each other, like they're such like millennials, like they're such like our age, our generation. Like you're starting to see guys in their early 30s, like get into these positions and they sort of talk like us and they see the game like we do. And it's
players
a cool
respond
and,
to it so much
yeah,
better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the players are younger, you know, and I think he talks to them. I think he has an authority about them, but I think he talks to them like they're people. And I think as sports and specifically this game moves forward, you have to understand that like generations as they come through are like so much more educated about who they are. They have so much easier access to information. And our generation was like not super respectful to our elders, if you guys remember. And like, I think the next one after us isn't going to be much better. And I think it's because we have a respect is earned attitude as a generation, because we like keep watching ludicrous tragedies happen like once every few years. And we're a little bit jaded. And I think you can see that with the kind of reflection of who these guys are and the way that they're running the team. And I just think it's fucking awesome. I work for the guy.
Oh, without a doubt. Mike McDaniel is just, he's something else. And like you said, it's the way he talks to the guys, but it's weird because he's so out there, but he's so down to earth. And some of the things he says, you can tell he's just messing with the media. But then
they love him,
genuine.
Though. Like, he has them. He has them on side, which is such an asset.
In his back pocket. And he's so fun to watch on the sidelines. And you know what I think the biggest thing for him is, and I think it's carried over to Tua, I think the game moves slow for him. You know what I mean? Like, the game doesn't speed up.
He's got like a football brain.
Yeah, he's got a football brain. It's just the way he's wired. And I think that that's helped too. And I think that relationship on the sideline to get Tua to stop thinking about what he's going to go do next. And then instead of just going and doing it, I think has really helped. And I it's weird. It's weird to say as a Patriots fan that I like this Dolphins team. I like their head coach. I would love to have him in New England. And I think that's another thing from my standpoint as a fan. And Craig might even agree with this, but just hearing and seeing and knowing who Bill Belichick is and then seeing this side of a head coach is just so it's refreshing. It's nice to see, man, and just a different style.
Before we move on, I got one last question about the Dolphins for you, Bobby. We've often touched on the theme of the quarterback being the guy. We've all written off Kirk Cousins. You know, nobody thinks Carson Wentz is going to do anything at the start of the season. We're right, you know. We just had a whole conversation about the Miami Dolphins, and nobody was like, yeah, but Tua can't, you know, nobody was like, Tua, it's like, do we all believe that maybe he could be? Is that, Bobby, what do you think?
Yeah, man, I do. I mean,
you're the right man for the question.
you think about what Tua was in college, man, and it's not like he came out of nowhere. It's not like throwing was ever his biggest challenge or anything like that.
But the translation to the NFL and his first performances, you know.
But when you have someone that makes your brain just exactly what Joe said, he's not thinking, he's just watching things happen and reacting to it rather than, oh no, I can't throw here, I can't do this. And he literally already came out and said all this.
He sees the Matrix code now.
He sees the McDaniel code. You know, in
just like the POV shot and just like bubble heads of Mike McDaniel just being like, no, don't think about that. Just like being just floating through the air, just like throw it.
Tyreek Hill. It's Tyreek Hill. Don't think too much. Yeah, I think this week is a big test for Tua though. Yeah. If he can come out and have an efficient outing, and even if they lose to the Niners, right? If he comes out and looks like an all-pro NFL quarterback against this defense, he is real, period.
100%.
I mean, it's a great point because I really think, you know, and we've talked about this. We've said this week is a big blank for blank a few times on this show, and I think we should keep this in mind going into watching the games Thursday and Sunday and Monday, because I think this time next week on the power rankings, we're going to know a lot. We're going to know a lot.
We'll know
because this might be the pivotal week. This might be the most important week we've had so far. I mean, you can sort of say that about chronological weeks as things go on. But because of the matchups and the way things are falling across the whole league, I think we're going to know so much. Going to be a great red zone day on Sunday, everybody. Going to be a great fucking red zone day. There's nothing better than beer and
7 hours of commercial free football.
It's literally the greatest show on TV.
There's nothing better. It really is.
It's fantastic. So if you're not a red zone person, you got to get on.
I don't like
it. It's expert. It's expert level stuff.
Quick little tangent. I watch football with people, right? We're watching red zone. People, I have people tell me this. Like, I don't like red zone. I can't like zone in on one game.
It's too fast.
Oh,
I can't,
so
I can't
zone in on one game.
So you don't like excitement? Concept. You don't like excitement? You don't like fun? Is that what you're telling me?
My wife has said that to me before. It's like, oh, I can't tell when it switches. And I literally said to her one day, just kind of being an ass, I was like, when the uniforms look different. Like, what do you, like, they tell you when they're switching. Like, Scott Hansen tells you when they're switching games. My aunt said the same thing to me this weekend when we were watching at her house, and I was like, hey, red zone. And she was like, oh, yeah, I can't really follow it. And I'm like, the same thing, Bobby. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like,
you know, the way Scientology...
Well, I love my aunt and I love my wife, but we got a real serious issue here.
I can't watch one game. I literally, my brain, won't let me do it anymore.
It's for the attention deficit generation, you know? Bro, you know the way Scientology has like all those weird ranks where they're like, you're Corporal C Captain level now. We're all octobox level red zone watchers, we're looking at single box people. We're just guys,
true.
come on. I got my octobox badge like 4 years ago. You gotta get on my fucking level here. All right, that was fun. So every week on the Power Rankings, we play a little fun game with the top three, or now recently top four, once it's actually been relevant. We again have two AFC teams and two NFC teams in the top four. So I'm going to pose this question to the expert panel, like I do every week. You have the Chiefs playing the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game. Who are you sending to the Super Bowl? Different question than what I asked before, in who you would rather send against the Chiefs. You decided, both of you, to send the Dolphins. Are they getting past Pat Mahomes? At this point, are they getting past Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, if we're being honest?
While Bobby thinks they can...
Bobby looks like he's in pain right now.
Well, no, it's tough. It is painful. I'm hiding it a little bit better than he is. It's painful because the Chiefs have their flaws too. Let's not get that wrong. They have their flaws. There are points in the game where they look flawed, but it's minor flaws. I mean, they have three running backs. One's hurt right now, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but they have three running backs that can run the ball. They have had no problem at receiver without Tyreek Hill. In fact, I've seen Juju Smith-Schuster and some
I feel like Pat Mahomes is better now. Like, he had to get
without a doubt. Because they got guys that are not only going to go out and catch passes, but they're willing to block and put their bodies on the line.
You're not talking me into the Dolphins right now, just for the record.
So, but listen, the Chiefs are clinical. The Dolphins are high flying. They're gonna try and punch you in the mouth, I think, especially in an AFC championship style. But I think, you know, you look at Mahomes versus Tua, Mahomes wins that battle. You look at Reed versus McDaniel, Reed wins that battle. I think the Chiefs are still going through. But the Dolphins can win that. But
that's because that's the answer. That's because that's the fucking answer. Like, let's not sit here and talk ourselves.
Don't tell me what the answer is, Dave. I'm telling you what. You know what? You can't fire me. I quit.
You can't sit here. No, we're not going to sit here and say that the Dolphins are going to beat the fucking Chiefs in the championship game.
Bobby.
I can't. Bobby. I'll pull the plug. I'll delete the internet right now. Before this goddamn thing goes on the fucking
airwaves.
He has
that ability. He lives in Los Angeles. He could.
Go ahead, Bobby.
That's where we're stationed at, Electric Ads. Or Winners Edge. Did we say that before?
Yeah,
we did.
I fucking forgot. I'll re-record.
Did we forget to? We're part of the Winners Edge.
Sorry.
Craig didn't even yell at us.
Wild. I'll do it again. I'll do it again at the start. Sorry.
Yeah, no. You're right. I know we just kind of talked about Tua, how he's real and blah, 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 blah. It's really, really, really hard to pick Tua over Pat Mahomes. I'm sorry. It is, man.
Yeah, it should be.
And the exactly hey, what Joe
Pat
just
Mahomes
said,
only has 1 year left after this in the NFL.
Plus, on top of that, I think a very underrated thing that not a lot of people are looking at, and I actually looked to pick him up in our fantasy league today, but Mitch Assange has already got him, is Melvin Gordon going to the Chiefs. All right. They dropped him. The Broncos dropped him, because their season's literally
wasn't a good fit.
A dumpster fire. And he's already the best running back. He's the best pure running back in that running back room now. And I think you're going to see him make a difference in them. Yeah, it's the Chiefs. We don't even need to talk about it anymore. It's the Chiefs.
All right. So we're all agreed we're sending the Chiefs in the AFC. It was more of a conversation when the Bills were like less suspicious, but we've all agreed on that. That's cool. I'm really excited to get to this one because if we're to take, we now have the Cowboys as at number 3 in the power rankings and the Eagles at number 2. They've dropped down from their vaunted place at number 1 where they kept most of the season up until a couple of weeks ago. The Chiefs are now number 1. We have the Cowboys and the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Gentlemen, I have to ask you, which one are you sending to the Super Bowl? And I got to tell you, I'm sending the fucking Cowboys. All fucking
Bobby, should
day.
You abstain? Should you abstain from this, Bobby?
No, we need it. We need the votes, man.
All right, go ahead.
He's
Bobby.
Earned saying this. He's watched this Cowboys team do this shit. He's earned this fucking moment in the sun.
So let's get the. So I am picking the Cowboys. Surprise.
But spoiler alert.
What scares me about this is what the Cowboys' crux is, and I've been saying this all year, is the two teams that can stop the Cowboys from going to the Super Bowl, the 49ers and the Eagles. In my opinion, those are the only two teams that have what it takes to beat this defense because of that zone run scheme, because they can put up 200 yards on any defense on any day. That
not
being
the
said,
not the Vikings,
I think Jalen Hurts crumbles against this pass rush in the playoffs. I really do. I think this Cowboys pass rush is elite, and especially if we get OBJ to come in and add that extra weapon on that offense.
Everybody
man.
Thinks they're going to get OBJ, though. Like, every team thinks they're going to get him. So that's
look, he's looking is looking like the Cowboys. No, I'm picking the Cowboys. Come on.
I said it last year, and my soul
literally would not let me. I could try and say the Eagles, and my soul wouldn't let me do it. So,
It's like that scene in Liar, Liar when he can't say
the team is the Eagles.
Yeah, Boys. You wouldn't be
Cowboys.
Able to do it.
What color is that pen?
I said it last year, and I was wrong, and I'll say it again this year. If the Cowboys sign OBJ, they don't go to the Super Bowl. I do, however, think you're right. One, that if they play, so we're just going by power rankings, obviously, because this is the power ranking show. If they play the 49ers before they get to the Eagles in the NFC Championship, I think that's really their crux here. Like, that's where the issue is going to happen. What's that?
Kryptonite. I feel the 49ers are the fucking Cowboys kryptonite.
Yeah, they have been before, they will be again.
They need to not see them if they're going to get to the NFC Championship game. I agree.
But I think this Eagles team is...
Sorry, Bobby.
They're 9-1
record.
Do you
see the stress in me? Just thinking about that.
Their 9-1 record is a facade. I think that, you know, the big three factors, right? Like, I look at the defenses. The Cowboys defense is better. I think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott, but I think Dak Prescott has a bigger set of nuts than Jalen Hurts. And Bobby, I think your hat might like blow off your head when I say this. I think Nick Sirianni is not a good NFL head coach, and Mike McCarthy wins the coaching battle here because he's been there before. He's done it before. He has a Super Bowl ring. Absolutely, the Cowboys beat the Eagles and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you there. I thought... fucking Vikings never fired Mike Zimmer. So
I'm gonna cry.
At the end of the day, I think it's going to be a really interesting playoffs. It's going to be a really interesting week, this upcoming week.
That would be the best Super Bowl matchup out of everything, right? Cowboys Chiefs.
Cowboys Chiefs.
That would be a lot of fun.
It would be really tough though, because on the show I would have to really talk to you about contingency plans for the inevitable Chiefs victory.
That would be an intervention.
Because it's bad. It's bad to watch your team lose in the Super Bowl, man. It's bad. It hurts. Because like that week, and knowing you, they give you an extra week to think about it. And then you're like, oh, what if they win? And I know you, and there's going to be a lot of what if they win in your brain. And then like, I'm going to hear about it in the
Discord for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to be really concerned about
if this happens, I'd be blowing up that Discord. No, it would just be all day long.
But if they went to the Super Bowl and lost, I'd be really concerned about the sexual tension between you and a 9mm. I would be very, very concerned about it. And we would have to really have people watching you at all times. But this has not passed yet. This is a super fun week coming up. I'm really excited about it. And I can't wait to talk to you guys next week about the awesome and fun NFL season. This has been Missing the Point, brought to you by the Winner's Edge Podcast Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a good rest of your night.
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Baklaan.
And I'm Eden Alpert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electric Cast production.
See you there.
Electric Cast.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric Acid.